Doubting Castle. Not far from the place where they slept, there was a castle called Doubting Castle, whose owner was Giant Despair. It was on his grounds that the pilgrims were now sleeping. Giant Despair, getting up early in the morning and walking up and down in his fields, caught Christian and Hopeful asleep on his grounds. Then, with a grim and surly voice, he ordered them to awake. He asked them where they came from and what they were doing on his grounds. They told him that they were pilgrims and that they'd lost their way. Then the giant declared, "You are trespassing on my grounds, and therefore you must come along with me." So they were forced to go with him, because he was stronger than they. The pilgrims had but little to say, for they knew themselves to be at fault. The giant therefore drove them before him and put them into a very dark, nasty, and stinking dungeon of his castle. Here they lay from Wednesday morning until Saturday night, without one bit of bread or drop of water or light or anyone to help them. Therefore they were in a dreadful state, being far from friends and assistance. Now in this place Christian had a double sorrow, for it was through his ill-advised counsel that they were brought into this distress. Now Giant Despair had a wife whose name was Diffidence. When he'd gone to bed, he told his wife what he had done, namely, that he had taken a couple of prisoners and cast them into his dungeon for trespassing on his grounds. He also asked her what he should further do to them. So she asked him who they were, where they came from, and where they were going, and he told her. Then she counseled him that when he awoke in the morning, he should beat them without mercy. So when he arose in the morning, he took a large crab-tree cudgel and went down into the dungeon to them. He began to berate them as if they were dogs, even though they never gave him any reason for doing so. Then he fell upon them and beat them mercilessly with the cudgel, and in such a way that they were not able to defend themselves or escape the giant's clutches. This done, he withdrew and left them to commiserate their wretchedness and to mourn over their distress. So all that day they spent the time in nothing but sighs and bitter lamentations. The next night, Diffidence, talking further with her husband about the pilgrims and finding out that they were still alive, told him to advise them to kill themselves. So when morning came, he went to them in the same surly manner as before, perceiving them to be in much pain because of the beating that he'd given them the day before. He told them that since they were never going to get out of that dungeon, the best thing for them would be to kill themselves, either with knife, noose, or poison. "For why," he questioned, "should you choose life, seeing it is attended with so much bitterness?" But the pilgrims begged him to let them go. With that, he looked harshly at them. Rushing upon them, he would have doubtless made an end of them, except that he fell into one of his fits, for he sometimes fell into fits in sunshiny weather, and lost the use of his hands for a time. Therefore he withdrew and left them to consider what they would do. Then the prisoners discussed whether it was best to take his counsel or not, and thus they began to discourse. Christian,
"Brother, what shall we do? The life that we now live is miserable. For my part, I do not know what is best, to live like this or to kill ourselves. The grave seems better to me than living in this dungeon, only to be oppressed by this giant.
Hopeful.
Indeed, our present condition is dreadful, and death would be far more welcome to me than live like this forever. Yet, let us consider that the lord of the country to which we're going has said, "You shall not murder." We're not to take another man's life, much more then are we forbidden to take the giant's counsel to kill ourselves.
Besides, he who kills another can but commit murder upon his body, but for one to commit suicide is to kill both body and soul at once. Moreover, my brother, you talk of ease in the grave, but have you forgotten that there is a hell where all murderers go? For no murderer has eternal life. And let us consider again that all our circumstances are not in the hand of giant despair. Others, so far as I understand, have been captured by him as well as we, yet they've escaped out of his clutches. Who knows but that the God who made the world may cause giant despair to die, or that at some time or other he may forget to lock us in, or that he may have another one of his fits when he's with us, and may lose the use of his limbs. If that ever happens, I'm resolved to take courage, and try my utmost to escape his grasp. I was a fool that I did not try to do it before. However, my brother, let us be patient, and endure for a while. The time may come in which we may be released, but let us not be our own murderers.
With these words, Hopeful pacified the mind of his brother, and so they continued together in their sad and doleful condition. Now towards evening, the giant went down to the dungeon again to see if his prisoners had taken his advice, but when he arrived there, he found them still living. Yet they were barely alive, for they lacked bread and water. Because of the wounds they received when he beat them, they could do little more than breathe. Seeing that they were still alive, Giant Despair fell into a furious rage. He told them that since they had not taken his advice, it would now be worse with them than if they had never been born. With that, he departed. At this they trembled greatly, and Christian fell into a swoon. Upon reviving, they renewed their discussion about the giant's advice and whether or not it was best to follow it. Once again, Christian seemed to favour suicide. Hopeful then responded,
"My brother, remember how valiant you've been up to this time. Apollyon could not crush you, nor could all that you heard or saw or experienced in the Valley of the Shadow of Death. What hardship and terror you've already gone through. But now, are you so fearful? You see that I, a far weaker man by nature than yourself, am in this dungeon with you. The giant has wounded me, as well as you, and has also cut off my bread and water. And with you I mourn in this dark dungeon. Let us exercise a little more patience. Remember how courageous you were at Vanity Fair, and were neither afraid of the fetters, nor the cage, nor of a bloody death. Therefore, let us bear up with patience as well as we can, for suicide is shameful and unfitting for a Christian."
Now, night having come, and the giant and his wife being in bed, she asked him if the prisoners had taken his counsel, to which he replied,
"They are sturdy rogues, and choose rather to bear all hardship than to kill themselves."
So she then said,
"Take them into the castle yard tomorrow, and show them the bones and the skulls of those whom you've already put an end to. Make them believe that before the end of the week you will also tear them in pieces, as you've done to the others."
So when the morning came, the giant went to the pilgrims and took them into the castle yard, just as his wife had bidden him.
"These," he boasted, "were once pilgrims as you are. They trespassed on my grounds, just as you have done, and when I saw fit, I tore them in pieces. In the same way, within 10 days, I will do so to you. Now, go down to your den again."
With that, he beat them all the way back to the den. Christian and Hopeful lay, therefore, all day in the same lamentable state. Now night had come, and when Mrs. Diffidence and her husband the Giant went to bed, they began to renew their discourse about the prisoners. The old Giant wondered why he could neither, by his blows nor by his counsel, bring them to an end. And with that his wife responded,
"I fear that they live in hope that someone will come to rescue them, or that they have picklocks with them by which they hope to escape."
"Do you think so, my dear?" responded the Giant. "I will therefore search them in the morning."
Now about midnight the pilgrims began to pray, and continued in prayer until almost the break of day. Then Christian, half bewildered, broke out in this passionate speech.
"What a fool I've been, to thus lie in this stinking dungeon when I could have been free. I have a key, called Promise, in my bosom, which I'm persuaded will open any lock in Doubting Castle."
Hopeful replied,
"That's good news, my brother. Pluck it out of your bosom and try it."
Then Christian pulled it out of his bosom and tried to unlock the dungeon door. As he turned the key, the bolt drew back and the door flew open. Christian and Hopeful quickly came out of the dungeon and went to the outer door which led into the castle yard. Using his key, Christian was able to open that door also. Now they went to the iron gate of the castle, which also needed to be unlocked. Though this lock was very difficult to turn, yet the key finally opened it. Then they pushed the gate open to make a quick escape. But the gate, as it opened, made such a creaking that it awakened Giant Despair. Hastily rising to pursue his prisoners, the Giant fell into one of his fits and felt his limbs fail him, so that he was unable to go after them. Then the pilgrims found their way back to the king's highway, and so were safe, being out of Giant Despair's jurisdiction. Now when they had gone back over the stile, they began to discuss what they should do to prevent others who would come after them from falling into the hands of Giant Despair. So they agreed to erect a pillar there, and to engrave this warning upon it: "Over this stile is the way to Doubting Castle, which is kept by Giant Despair, who despises the king of the celestial country and seeks to destroy his holy pilgrims." This being done, they sang,
"Out of the way we went, and then we found what 'twas to tread upon forbidden ground. And let them who come after have a care, lest heedlessness makes them as we to fare, lest they, for trespassing, his prisoners are, whose castle's Doubting, and whose name's Despair.
Many, therefore, who later came to that place, read the warning and escaped the danger."
The Delectable Mountains. Christian and Hopeful then went on until they came to the Delectable Mountains, which belong to the lord of that hill of which we've spoken of before. So they went up to the mountains to behold the gardens, the orchards, the vineyards, and the fountains of water. There they also washed themselves, and freely drank and ate from the vineyards. Now, on the top of these mountains, there were shepherds feeding their flocks while they stood by the highway side. The pilgrims therefore went to them, and leaning upon their staffs, as is common with weary pilgrims when they stand to talk with any along the way, they asked, "Whose Delectable Mountains are these? And whose are these sheep which feed upon them?"
Shepherds: "These mountains are Emmanuel's land, and they're within sight of his city. The sheep are his also, for he laid down his life for them."
Christian: "Is this the way to the celestial city?"
Shepherds: "Yes, this is the right way."
Christian: "How far is it to the city?"
Shepherds: "Too far for any, except those who shall get there indeed."
Christian:
"Is the way safe or dangerous?"
Shepherds:
"The way is safe for whom it's meant to be safe. The righteous walk in it, but transgressors stumble in it."
Christian: "Is there any relief in this place for pilgrims who are weary and faint?"
Shepherds: "The lord of these mountains has given us a charge to show hospitality to strangers. Therefore, the refreshment of the place is available for your welfare."
I saw also in my dream that when the shepherds perceived that they were pilgrims, they questioned them,
"Where did you come from? How did you get into the way? By what means have you persevered in the narrow way? For few of those who begin to come here ever show their face on these mountains."
To all these questions, the pilgrims answered as they had done previously. When the shepherds heard their answers, they were pleased and looked very lovingly upon them. They exclaimed,
"Welcome to the Delectable Mountains."
The shepherds, whose names were Knowledge, Experience, Watchful, and Sincere, took them by the hand, brought them to their tents, and bid them to partake of a meal which had been prepared. They said, moreover,
"We desire that you should stay here a while to become acquainted with us, and also to refresh yourselves with the good things of these Delectable Mountains."
Then the pilgrims told the shepherds that they were content to stay. So they went to their rest that night, because it was very late. Then I saw in my dream that in the morning the shepherds called Christian and Hopeful to walk with them upon the mountains. So they went forth with them and walked a while, having a pleasant view on every side. Then the shepherds said to one another,
"Shall we show these pilgrims some wonders?"
When they concluded to do so, they first took them to the top of Hill Era, which was very steep on the furthest side, and bid the pilgrims to look down to the bottom. So Christian and Hopeful looked down, and saw at the bottom several men who'd been dashed to pieces, having fallen from the top of the hill. Then Christian asked,
"What does this mean?"
The shepherds responded,
"Have you not heard of those who erred by hearkening to Hymenaeus and Philetus as concerning the belief of the resurrection of the body?"
"Yes," they replied. Then the shepherds explained,
"These are who you see dashed in pieces at the bottom of this mountain. They have continued to this day unburied, as you see, for an example to others to take heed not to come too near to the brink of Hill Error."
Then I saw that the shepherds brought them to the top of another mountain named Caution, and entreated them to look afar off. When they looked, They observed what they thought were several men walking up and down among the tombs that were there. They perceived that the men were blind because they stumbled upon the tombstones and could not find their way out from among them. Then Christian questioned, "What does this mean?" The shepherds then explained, "Did you not see that a little below these mountains there was a stile which led into a meadow on the left hand of the way?" "Yes," the pilgrims replied. The shepherds then continued, "From that stile leads a path which goes directly to Doubting Castle, which is kept by Giant Despair. These blind men among the tombs were once on a pilgrimage, just as you are now. When they came to that stile, because the right way was rough, they chose to go out of it and into that meadow. They were then captured by Giant Despair and cast into Doubting Castle. After they'd been kept a while in the giant's dungeon, he gouged out their eyes and led them among those tombs, where he has left them to wander to this very day. So the saying of the wise man is fulfilled, 'Whoever strays out of the way of wisdom shall remain in the congregation of the dead.'" Then Christian and Hopeful looked upon one another with tears gushing out, yet they said nothing to the shepherds. "Then I saw in my dream that the shepherds led them to another place where there was a door in the side of a hill. They opened the door and bid the pilgrims look in. Peering in, they saw that it was very dark and smoky. They also thought that they heard a rumbling noise as of fire and a cry of some who were tormented, and that they smelled the scent of brimstone." "What does this mean?" Christian inquired. The shepherds told them, "This is a byway to hell, a way that hypocrites go, namely such as sell their birthright with Esau, and such as sell their master with Judas, and such as blaspheme the gospel with Alexander, and such as lie and deceive with Ananias and his wife Sapphira." Then Hopeful questioned the shepherds, "I perceive that all of these once had a reputation as being pilgrims, just as we do, had they not?"
Shepherds: "Yes, and some held to it for a long time, too."
Hopeful: "How far they went on in pilgrimage, yet notwithstanding, they were thus miserably cast away."
Shepherds: "Some not so far as these mountains, and some went further."
Then the pilgrims said to each other,
"We need to cry to the Strong One for strength."
Shepherds:
"Yes, and you will also have need to use that strength when you have it."
By this time, the pilgrims desired to resume their journey, and the shepherds agreed. So they walked together towards the end of the mountains. The shepherds then said to each other,
"Let us here show the pilgrims the gates of the celestial city, if they have skill to look through our special telescope."
The pilgrims cordially agreed, and were taken to the top of a high hill called Clear, and were given the telescope. When they attempted to look, the remembrance of that last thing that the shepherds had shown them made their hands shake. With this impediment, they could not look steadily through the telescope. Yet they thought they saw something like the gate of the city, and also some of the glory of that place. Then they went away and sang this song: "Thus by the shepherds secrets are revealed, which from all other men are kept concealed. Come to the shepherds then, if you would see things deep, things hid, and that mysterious be." When they were about to depart, one of the shepherds gave them a note with directions for the way,
Another warned them to beware of the flatterer. The third told them to take heed that they do not sleep upon the enchanted ground. And the fourth shepherd bid them Godspeed. So I awoke from my dreams.